Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome in ESPN 1000 Chicago on a Saturday morning. Brian Hanley and Mark Zander, a couple losers yesterday. Boy, tough talking about baseball. I'm more impressed about the Cubs right now.
The way you said that, Hanley and Zander, a couple losers. How about a little pause between that?
Yeah, well, you know
that?
What? Look, I'm all about the self-deprecation, but I actually meant our baseball team.
Okay.
Whatever.
I mean, I know we're not feeling good about things these days, but don't lump us into 30 seconds in. Yeah, a couple losers.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Hey, you know, look, dude, I'm setting the table. I'm just setting the table.
Good Lord.
I threw up on, okay. Bad choice of words. Boy, yeah. Within 1 minute, okay.
Okay.
I almost said,
Jake, how are you
Twitter.
Feeling?
Let
You're
me,
feeling
okay,
good?
take two.
No throwing up for me though.
I'm glad you're done being sick. I put up on Twitter. I did not throw up on Twitter. I put up on Twitter earlier today. The need to assign a creative adjective for how we're feeling about our White Sox. And I'm hoping people will jump in on that and we'll read those if you want to call in. Just one super creative adjective about how you're feeling about the White Sox. And this got started by seeing, I think it was Carmen last night, hashtag abysmal. And I thought, okay,
I like
that. And we could do better than that. So if you have a creative adjective to describe how you're feeling about your Chicago White Sox right now, please share it with us on Twitter or here at 312-332-3776. So,
and you can amplify on it, Chet. Chet Kopic, amplify on your adjective. Because there's you were out there twice this week, right? You went Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yes, I did. And Tuesday was awfully painful.
Yeah.
You know,
tell me again how home runs don't matter, because of the one game they've won this week. What'd they do?
Yeah, no doubt. Home runs matter. And the only time home runs don't matter as much is when you're hitting all the time. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you're doing what the Sox have shown us, on days where they're not hitting a home runs and they're playing small ball, you know, that single here, opposite field, get the runner over, you know, do whatever. Though when you're doing that consistently, then the home runs don't matter as much because you're still scoring runs to some degree. When you're doing what we're doing and literally one day you're hitting home runs, the next day it's a power outage. I don't understand what is happening. It is so, it's complicated, but it's probably not complicated.
Okay, so the one win this week is the game they had three home runs, right? And Andrew Vaughn.
And I will say, if I'm going to be at any game this year,
I'm
glad I went to that one. That was fabulous. But to walk out of there thinking, what are they going to do tomorrow, and not have that confidence, and seeing what they did the next day, it's.
George, one of our really good callers, really, you know, said the home runs don't oversimplify this. Well, it's pretty simple, because at home, I think you're being out homered by 50 something to 31 or two, whatever it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And you were three teams had fewer home runs going into this all important stretch than your Chicago White Sox. Right now, it's not even day to day. You're going 43 at bats in between every home run. Now, that makes a very stressful existence for everybody, for your fielders, for your pitchers, your bullpen, everybody else. And, you know, Giolito was great till he wasn't last night. I don't know about you, Mark. I am so tired of being tired of everything's, we'll just keep working. You know, everyone loves each other. We're a team here. And Frank Thomas even said in the post game, I think it was Thursday, they all start to blend together.
It was Thursday. It was Thursday because I had talked to you. I had missed it. And for some reason, you can't find any of the NBC Sports Chicago post games on Twitter or anywhere online.
You got to stay up and watch it. And Chuck Garfine is the voice of the fans. And his frustration is evident. Because, absolutely. And he's verbalizing what you're verbalizing to your TV, but he's doing it in cleaner language because he's on TV.
Yeah.
And Frank Thomas, and I covered Frank as a player, he said the other night that he's tired of everyone being slapping each other in the back, and we'll get him tomorrow, and it's a marathon, not a split. He basically said,
there's no urgency, Brian.
Well, he said, you better start challenging each other in the clubhouse, and he doesn't see it. I mean, your name, fill in the blank here, it's Pollock, it's Giolito, it's Dylan Cease, it's whomever. Well, we know what kind of team we have here, and we're going to be better. And, it was wait till everyone gets healthy. It's early. Don't worry. No panic. Frank basically said, and I saw Frank do it personally in the dugout, in the clubhouse, fielding before the game, taking grounders. He and Ozzie used to get in. One time, Ozzie had a full leg cast on. Okay. I had a knee injury. I was covering the team. It was a long time ago, obviously. And Frank was out at shortstop before a game taking grounders for no apparent reason other than he could. Mm-hmm. And Ozzie, and he wasn't kidding, said, hey, you go over first base and practice over there, you make errors. And Frank said, you talking to me? He said, yeah. And Frank, next thing I know, he's standing next to Ozzie in the dugout. And he's in his face. He said, what'd you say? And then they start going at it. And Frank turned to us and he said, hey, you guys write this. I'll have an issue with you guys too. But, I mean, they were scuffling at the time. And two of the leaders on the team were pissed off about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen anyone pissed off about it. Okay. And I'm with Frank. You better start getting somebody's face and start kicking some butt. And I'm not saying go all Chris Sale on you and tear apart a runway or take the scissors out and, tear up some uniforms you don't like.
Not, and but that's going too far.
You need something other than,
well, yeah, I mean, right.
We'll keep grinding. We'll be okay.
Yeah, throwing a Gatorade jug or something like that. Some kind of locker room reset without any permanent damage would do nicely. I mean, what are the other things we could do here that wouldn't go Chris Sale, but would definitely get the point across? Look, I'm with you. I am tired of the malaise. I am tired of the lack of urgency. It just seems that everybody's sitting back waiting for something to happen. But the very people that are sitting back waiting for something to happen are the people who have to actually make it happen.
Yeah. I mean,
and Joe Kelly. Oh, oh. I was excited off season. I don't want to see him pitch again.
Not anytime soon.
What is broken with him now? Is it time for another IL stint for him?
Well, look, we always say it, every day you go to a baseball game or watch it, you can see something you've never seen before. Unfortunately, you see an 8-5 triple play. And I'm watching that, and I had the same look on my face as Tony did when they cut to the dugout with the mouth open, the mouth agape going.
Which is a great meme that is going around social media ever since.
Yeah. But every day, okay, Louis Robert gets you the 2-run home run to start off things and everything's great early on. And every single day, do you see a defensive gaffe, a miscommunication on Little League stuff? And last night he's involved in that, and it looks like he calls off. And then the ball drops.
And that's a great point. You see Adam Engel duck away because the center fielder is the captain.
Yep.
And he wasn't he was two steps too far to call anybody off. And Adam is a great glove. That was, again, a Little League mistake. This whole season has been riddled with peewee ball challenges. And that's the face of the Sox this year.
They're halfway through the season now. And, a third of the way through, a quarter of the way through, we were talking about these same issues. And no one did have a sense of urgency. And unfortunately, I don't think they have a sense of urgency now.
No, they don't seem to.
And here's going to be the new course this week. We've had the, everyone's hurt. Woe is us. Don't worry. We'll get healthy. We'll be fine. And then we had, you know, oh, don't worry, you know, we're going to clean some things up. Hey, we're barreling the ball. And, you know, when they start dropping, oh, it's contagious. The hitting's going to come. We're doing the right things. Well, you're not doing the right things. And you are what your record says you are. No. And I tweeted out last night after the game, baseballreference.com had your playoff probability.
You know what? Save that. Let's talk.
It went down significantly by the time the night was over.
I'll tell you something. When I woke up this morning and I saw your tweet, my daughters get up early, so I crash early. And that's part of the problem with not being able to catch the post game. I am going to catch it, obviously, today because it's the early man special. But the point is, I saw your tweet and my heart just sank because reality just hit. Now, I would love to know, if anybody had it, Jake, if you can find it. I don't know if we would have that same probability for the Braves at this point last year, but we all agree this team is not what the Braves were last year.
Right,
save that because this is really, really unfortunate number. But you know,
I'll give you an idea now. I'll give you the number, and I'll give you the idea of the company you're keeping at this point in the season.
Okay.
And last week we played a game of high low. I have a different version of that game. We'll go position by position on the White Sox, and we'll give you high or low, above or below wins above average for the entire league.
Good. I love it. Let's talk to David and Wakanda about the White Sox. Welcome into ESPN 1000.
Hey, David. Hi, guys. David Spada here. If I'm Rick Hahn, I got to go in Jerry's office today and say, listen, you forced La Russa on me. We're not playing well. This reflects on not only the organization, but me. Either I get to hire a manager or I'm gone. Enough's enough. Bring in Ozzie. Bring in anybody. I know he wanted Bruce Bochy. Anything's better than this. You got to shake up the team. You can't get rid of all these players, but you need a manager to come in there and hold these guys accountable.
So something has to be, they have to shake it up somehow, some way. How does Kenny Williams, thank you, David, how does Kenny Williams figure into this right now? You know, Kenny's in that spot where he's in between Jerry and Rick. Do you have really any way to kind of frame his role right now?
I don't know if he's in town. I don't know if he's consulting. I don't believe I've heard or seen any sightings at the ballpark of Kenny.
So we don't know how he's involved.
And you know what? I mean, when Rick took over, I was hoping we'd get rid of that extra layer of management that, you know, let's know who's to either get the blame or the accolades, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but then David Spade just brought up, I mean, this is the one point that I don't even know if it matters. I mean, it always matters, right? If you set a tone, I saw this week people suggesting that Tony was going to bend over backwards to be a friend to the modern player. So maybe the old fiery Tony La Russa wasn't unpacked when he got to Chicago.
Yep. And I think that there's something to that. I really, really do.
Which again,
we need to see the old version of him about now, I think.
I mean, one of the losses this week, don't know which one. There's Jose Abreu sitting in the dugout after the game and they had the camera on him. He's just sitting there staring out the field.
It was after the Tuesday game.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching it, and I'm watching him. And you could just see he's just trying to figure out what's going on here. But does he go into the clubhouse and start asking that same question to, again, challenging people? Someone's got to do it. This rah-rah, we're all good, we love each other, we're a team, no one's pointing fingers. Well, time to point fingers. Time to say, okay, if you're going to call off a guy on a ball, you better catch the damn ball.
Okay? Absolutely.
If Tim Anderson, you're an all-star, don't be overrunning second base and getting tagged out. Every day there's something. Every single day. And it's your leaders, too.
And this is funny.
Jose Abreu in between bases. I mean, even the guys who are having a season are joining the group of having a moment. And it translates into
too many moments. There's
absolutely
too many moments.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's just tuning in, that's Brian Hanley, a Cub fan that is really getting PO'd about the White Sox. That's how bad things are.
I'm watching more Sox than Cubs these days. And I'll tell you what, we'll talk about the Cubs too, because at least they're in close games. You know what? At least they'd won four series going to L.A. Now, I didn't even think that was possible. They take the Dodgers to extra innings and blow a 3-0 lead yesterday. Okay. And David Robertson, okay, the price for him is going down. And you better, you know, make that trade there, Jed. But I'm telling you, one of our Twitter poll questions today, I'll throw it out there right now. Which team's going to finish higher in their division, the Sox or the Cubs? Didn't even think that was a possibility in July.
Yeah, no. We've got to hit
break. It's a simple one. Yeah.
Right. We'll talk more about the polls. I put out a challenge to everybody listening and looking at Twitter today for your best adjective for what you're feeling about the White Sox, and I'll share one from Mitch Bettendorf, who checks in all the time. We'll take your calls, 312-332-3776. Back to talk, and back to talk to you on the phones here at ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Oh, man, I was a three-hitter role, so once we get something going, you know, there was going to be an opportunity there, and he was ready. You know, first one was a nasty strike, and then he missed one, and he chased one. But, you know, had the right guy up there. Didn't work. Had the right guy up in ninth inning, too. Right guys.
Obviously, Joe has a long career and reputation. What have you seen from him just these last couple outings? I think he talked about kind of searching for his mechanics his last time out.
Well, I think we were all real confident that he's a tremendous asset. The game in San Francisco, he got, you know, a little out of kilter, and this is his first chance to pitch since then, I think. You know, he threw a couple of great pitches to get strike two, and then the third one, he got up a little bit. Okay, it's a ground ball just to lose, right? He's a real asset, and they're working on it. He's working on it. There'll be something special for us.
ESPN 1000, Xander and Hanley, that's Tony La Russa post-game, talking about Andrew Vaughn, pinch hitting. Boy, was I surprised to see Leury leave and start walking toward the dugout. It's like, wait a minute. Is he actually going to have somebody pinch hit for him? And did you hear the crowd? I think it was Jason and Steve that said, we have never heard, I can't remember the last time we heard so much adulation for a pinch hitter coming up. Now, it didn't work out for Andrew, but you didn't see anybody complaining. Those are the chances that we like to see Tony take with somebody who obviously did not deliver at that point, but certainly can deliver.
He did it 2 days. He did it 2 days earlier.
I know.
He did it 2 days earlier.
Yes, right? He did. Yes, he did. And I have been knocking Leury, the bromance and all that. I mean, if you go to my Twitter feed, Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle, you can see that I've spent a lot of time slagging Leury Garcia. But look, he won the game. I was there. That hit to right field. He won the game the other day, angle across the plate. That was sweet. And if he can do that all the time, then my slagging
but
will
stop. Vaughn hits the tying home run the other day, right? I mean,
Yes, he did. So many heroes and look, in that
did you look at the look on Lurie's face? I'm going back to the dugout. They're like, hey, come
yeah,
on
he
back.
Was like, wait a minute,
bring your bat. Yeah,
he's like, what me?
It's Lurie time. Yeah,
how dare you, Tony? I thought we were good like that.
Yeah,
I threw out that challenge on Twitter for a creative adjective to describe how you're feeling about the White Sox. Mitch Bettendorf, fully vaccinated, boosting COVID. He says, Reinsdorfian. That's
there you
beautiful
go.
Right there. That is Reinsdorfian. And to bring up, Jerry, how much does a winning season matter over making amends with an old friend?
That's a great question.
Is that what it's come down to? Is that what it comes down to here?
Well, but here's the thing. We can all sit there and vent on Tony and, you know, why he's still here. Because in baseball, fair or not, you're having a substandard, underachieving season for a team that had lofty expectations. You wouldn't be sitting here on July 9th. The manager would be gone. Okay. He would just, whether it changes anything, it just happens, Joe Girardi. And, you know, you'd be gone. That's what happens in baseball.
Why do they do that, those things? To shake things up, to get everybody to sit and pay attention, like, ooh, something's happening here. That's how you get people's attention.
When a team is this fundamentally flawed, but it's a legitimate question, it's a great question. Unfortunately, we know the answer. The answer is no. We're making amends, and however the season ends, and right now it ends with you out in the outside looking in the playoffs. Because baseballreference.com yesterday, going into the game, your Chicago White Sox had a 24 plus percent chance of making the playoffs. 6% chance of being a wild card team, no good. 13.5% chance to win the division, no good. That's today, because after the game, it went down to 19.5% chance. So you lost in one day. You lost 4.8% chance in your postseason possibility, probability.
And I got to tell you, the way you brought it up on Twitter was beautiful, because you said something, and I'm paraphrasing here. Would you take an umbrella if you knew that there was a 24% chance of rain? And my initial thought was no. You plug that into the probability for the White Sox. And that's
and now it's 19.5% this morning.
That was a kick in the crotch to every White Sox fan that saw that, because reality has set in. The very reality we thought that we would not have to consider this year is starting to settle in. What does that mean for Rick Hahn and Jerry Reinsdorf? We don't know. It seems like Rick wants to win, but there's no way that anybody is going to convince me that his hands are not tied by Jerry Reinsdorf in several different ways.
Okay, so, and David Spada, our caller, and 312-332-3776, if you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you, White Sox fans. He just said, you know, that Rick should go in and give him the ultimatum. You know, either it's Tony or it's me. I don't think Rick wants to do that, because I think Rick knows the answer to that. And
sure,
but
right.
At some point, but at some point, if you're Rick Hahn, and I brought this up a month or two ago, you know, when we all start seeing on Twitter, well, his hands are tied in the offseason. He couldn't go after some of the players he wanted. He certainly didn't want Tony La Russa, but yet here he is. And unless Tony walks away from this thing because the players tuned him out, that's the only way Tony said he'd walk away. You know, at some point, do you, as the GM and the architect of this team, and you bear some responsibility for some of the flawed players, and there are a lot of them, do you say enough of this because I can't do my job? And now my reputation and my resume is being ruined because my hands are somewhat tied, or more tied than even we know. But look, there's culpability up and down. And when you watch a team that's this consistently defensively flawed, base running mistakes, you know, the whole thing, just little league stuff. Mm-hmm. And yet you're saying, well, don't worry, because, you know, Eloy's coming back and he had a great, you know, first game. And I said, there's no Bryce Harper on this IL. So as much as you want to say, wait till that guy gets back, Eloy gave you juice for a day. But
we'll, and that's not we'll to say he position. Won't show up again, but we need
no.
Look, on
he'll
the days
fine.
That he doesn't show up, Brian, everybody else
who
has
is?
To show up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a winning team.
So all this idea that there's still more runway and all these excuses, and here's the new excuse. I guarantee you we're gonna hear it this week. Well, you know, even with the one win in this most important stretch of the season, and I, you know, last week I said, you know, there has to be a sweep of the Detroit Tigers, right? Well, the Tigers all of a sudden got hot, and they were doing some of your heavy lifting by dispatching Cleveland and sweeping that series, right? This new thing is, hey, even though the Sox are losing, guess what? Minnesota's 5-5 in their last 10, and by the way, Cleveland's 2-8 in their last 10. So really, even though we've lost, we just lost a week off the schedule. Well, you could have been making hay while Minnesota. Mm. Who took care of you in that series, while they're playing 500 baseball, and while Cleveland's playing losing baseball, if you'd actually done something about it, then you could actually make up ground, and that's what you need to do. You can't run in place during this stretch of 15-14 or 19 division games. And so while Cleveland's been scuffling and while Minnesota has cooled off, you could have actually been taking games off the deficit, which you sit in third place right now, as, by the way, the Chicago Cubs are third place in their division, too. And they're trying to lose.
312-332-3776. You heard Brian, Sox fans. 19% chance of making the playoffs at this point. We're halfway through the season. It's been a major disappointment. Throw us an adjective on Twitter or here at 312-332-3776. How are you feeling? We'll play high-low as we move on here. We're only here until 10:30. Got a lot of ground to cover. We'll end up talking about the Blackhawks too. But we get to your phone calls. Pauly and Larry are both on hold, and we'll do that after the break here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. We'll be right back.
Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000 Saturday morning. White Sox are taking on Detroit again this afternoon. I'm tired of baseball. I need a day off. I just might cut my lawn and my neighbor's lawn and just avoid it altogether.
Well, because we saw on Twitter, you got, you know, we mentioned that you have all that acreage, and then one of our listeners had a picture of your mower. It's a highfalutin riding mower with like all the bells and whistles.
It's
right?
A riding mower. It's not a zero turn. I meant to correct that and send a picture of a zero turn. They're more badass than anything you could possibly imagine.
I was thinking, man, life's good on the Xander estate.
No, because... it's even better. You can't even imagine. Owen and Willowbrook wants to jump on with his thoughts on what's happening on the South Side. Welcome into ESPN 1000.
Hey guys. Hey, you know, I'm not a big La Russa fan, but I squarely put this on basically Han and Williams, even though they say their hands were tied with La Russa. He got these players long before La Russa. And what I really think he's got is a bunch of undisciplined hitters. These guys want to swing coming off the bench. And I'll give you a perfect example. The other day, we're down 2-0, I mean 2 runs against that kid that was from Detroit. He was 1-4 over a 4-something ERA. Had 70 pitches going into the seventh inning.
Amen.
We got Lurie Garcia coming up in the last inning as a pinch hitter leading off. The biggest out of the inning is the first out usually in the ninth inning when you're trying to get a save. So we're down 2 runs. We're down 2-0. If it's a 1-run game, you should be swinging. First pitch down the middle, he swings, grounds out, right? Then we have our rally. We don't have guys that walk. We don't have guys that know the strike zone. Tim Anderson, who's a hell of a hitter, has 10 walks. That's your leadoff man. 10 walks this year. Louis Roberts, 10 walks this year. He has over 57 strikeouts in 67 games. They don't know the strike zone. They have no plate discipline. Because if they don't have plate discipline, they're not a good enough fielding team to win. And their bullpen, sure enough, is not good enough to always hold, you know, close games. So I really put this on Han. Even though I'm not a big fan of La Russa, I think La Russa's time is gone. I didn't like him in the 70s. The guy that they got knows more about baseball than anybody is doing the post-game show. That's Ozzie Guillen. And he'll never come back because of his rifty head. But I think they got the type of ball players that they want, and now they're getting what they went after.
Great call.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that, Owen. We've got Paulie in Mount Prospect wants to throw out an adjective for how he's feeling about our Chicago White Sox. Hey, Paulie, welcome into ESPN 1000.
Morning, gentlemen. Yeah, you know, I think we all must be feeling somewhat masochistic as Sox fans. But the adjective I came up with when you guys were thinking about it, the first thing that came was prostate examinized.
Good Lord. Wow.
That's creative. I love it. Thank you, Paulie. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Have a good one, guys.
That's not even the colonoscopy. That's actually just the, you know, this is going to, for a quick second here, you'll feel it.
Yeah.
The White
this
Sox.
This is going to be uncomfortable, Brian.
Yeah, for all of us in the room.
You hear the snap of the glove?
Yeah. The White Sox, to our first caller's point there, have a top 5 batting average in Major League Baseball, but undisciplined. They're bottom 10 in OPS because they don't walk. They're bottom 10 in grounding into double plays because we've seen so many of those innings, and sometimes an 8-5 triple play just for shake it up a bit. To first time in the history of baseball,
right? Hey,
first time in the history of baseball,
you've never seen before.
And of course, they are a bottom 10 in runs scored, and they're bottom 5 in home runs that they hit. Again, averaging a home run every 43 at-bats. It's not near damn good enough. And here's a couple things. Just the Cubs are trying to lose, right? The Cubs have 17 home wins.
Built to lose.
Cubs have 17 home wins. Your Chicago White Sox, 17 home wins. So the Sox are 17-25 at home. Their expected we talk about the expected wins and losses given runs scored against runs allowed. The Cubs are 36-48 because they're minus 65 in run differential. And for comparison's sake, again, Cubs trying to lose, White Sox 36-46 would be their expected record instead of 39-43 because they have a minus 47 run differential. I mean, the Cubs are not supposed to be contending, and they're not. They're not supposed to even be competing in most games. And yet they've competed in 20, in one run games, they're 10-16, and two run games, they're 7-11. So, you know, the Cubs and White Sox are not that far off, or there's at least statistically in a lot of respects, they're not terrible. You know, there isn't a great bit of difference between the team that was supposed to be a World Series contending team versus a team that has blown everything up and checked back with us in 4 years.
Yeah, it's amazing. It seems like the Cubs accidentally did this, but they were, you know, they're just playing. Yep. Young guys, some energy, you know, nothing to lose.
Yep.
And on the other side of town, there's no accountability. And what you mentioned before is, has Tony La Russa over-adjusted to the new player and everybody's being coddled or whatever? Obviously, it's not working. We all know the definition of the word insanity is to do the same thing over and over and expect different results. And that's an adjective for what's happening on the South Side, too. Larry on the South Side, thoughts about TLR in the bullpen. Welcome in. You're with Hanley and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Yeah, this guy supposedly invented the bullpen, right, back in the 80s with Oakland and all that?
Yes.
Okay. How do you explain the seventh inning when you got – you bring in Kelly in a high leverage situation. This guy is blowing up everything this year. Why not bring in Lopez? Why not? Why not bring in Lopez?
I think Lopez pitched the day before, but I agree with you. These guys are being coddled. There's no reason in my book that Lopez can't come in. He used to be a starter. Why can't you pitch him back-to-back days for a couple innings each at the most?
Picture day before, I kind of roll my eyes at that kind of stuff. That's pitiful. That's really pitiful. He pitched a day. Come on, he used to pitch all the time. He used to do that stuff in Oakland all the time, bring these guys in every day.
Mm-hmm. Larry, you heard Tony, we just played that cut a few minutes ago, double down on Joe Kelly, how special he is and how important he is, how great he's going to be for him. Well, this has not been a good Joe Kelly.
He's going to? How long do we have to wait for this?
Well, you know, you got a 19.5% chance of being in the playoffs. You know, the time is now. The time was the last 2 weeks.
The time has actually started to pass.
Yeah.
A while ago. Yeah, Joe Kelly, I cannot believe. I couldn't even imagine that he would be this bad. And what Larry said is right, and I believe it too. I mean, Lopez has been a rock. There's no reason why you can't bring him in back-to-back games to pitch for an inning or two. There's just no reason. Enough of this coddling these players. John on the road, question about Abreu, wants to jump in on ESPN 1000. Hey, John.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
We can.
Okay, thank you. Hey, before I ask this question, one very quick comment on your very last comment you made about Kelly. You said that La Russa said he wants to double down on him. If that's the case, I would like to be a blackjack dealer.
I'd like to be the house. I'll be the casino, and Tony, you can keep doubling down.
Here's my comment. And first of all, I am an Abreu fan, so I'm absolutely not knocking him. I'm not crabbing about him. It's nothing like that. Okay. But I do have this question that somebody knowledgeable perhaps can explain to me. He takes the first pitch on every at-bat. It could be right down the middle. He takes the first pitch. He puts himself in the hole every time he comes up. I've seen it in the paper. I've seen the guys on the White Sox broadcast talk about it. So my question is, why isn't a hitting coach or a manager talking to him about this to simply make him a better player?
Well, here's the thing, and, you know, at least he's had, what, the 14 consecutive games of getting on base.
Right.
So, but to your point, believe me, the advanced scouts are writing that down so that the opposing teams know that just go ahead and go center cut on that because he ain't going to swing at that first pitch. Now, more often than not, Jose Abreu has been, you know, generate whatever offense the White Sox have had or is in the middle of it. So on the list of – I appreciate the frustration because –
That is not a concern. If anything, you know what, Jose, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, because he
– because
he,
you're the one that's doing it. I have a problem, you know, and it really, really depends. I mean, TLR has – I mean, TLR, I'm sorry. TA has taken your first pitches or he's swung at first pitches, but, you know, he still has – a pretty good batting average. Not lately. He hasn't been good. He's been suffering through a bit of a funk like everybody else, seemingly.
Well, he's the
but the rest
one.
Of the team, the rest of the team, they seem to have a propensity to swing at first pitch, like Pollock or whatever. And I would like to see, I think we all want to see more discipline at the plate because you wear out pitchers that way. You make them pitch to you, you wear them out, and you force them to give you something better than what they're giving you first pitch.
And Tim Anderson is obviously the guy, right? When he's in the lineup, you like your chances much better than when he's not. But he's the latest guy to say, and I quote, because everyone in that clubhouse has had some variation of this, and this was yesterday, we just have to keep grinding, keep coming to the ballpark, trying to get better every day, keep trying to be good teammates, just keep working hard. Hopefully that brings wins. We understand we are in a tough stretch, but it's part of the game, so we just have to keep grinding it out and keep working. I'm tired of it.
That's more of that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Everything's fine. It's going to work out great. It's just,
Worry.
We're all happy. We're great teammates. We love each other. We got each other's backs. And, you know, that's wonderful. But Frank Thomas said, you know, too much of that. Sometimes you go the other way and start saying, okay, we can't have the defensive gaffes. We can't have the communication gaffes. We can't have the base running gaffes. We can't have the managerial gaffes. And what that gets you is a 19.5% chance of being a playoff team on July 9th.
Yep. 312-332-3776. We're up against the break. We'll come back. Ron is on hold. So is Al, and taking your phone calls. And we've got some Giolito post sound that we're going to play for you too here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
The next time I have to come in here, I'm cracking skulls.
That's what I want to hear from Tony. Brian, that's what I want to hear. The guy from Breakfast Club threatening somebody, threatening bodily harm. Let's get this team going. It's Brian Hanley.
I thought in memory of Pauly Walnuts leaving us. I thought
No, that's not Pauly Walnuts. That's the teacher, the study hall teacher, or I should say the teacher for the detention teacher.
Detention,
that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, detention. I almost forgot that word. I spent so much time in detention myself, but I guess it's been a while. 312-332-3776, a classic scene from The Breakfast Club. But yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see some for. I know it's not really HR friendly anymore to be that forceful, but I don't care at this point.
Hey, Frank Thomas wants to see it too, and I'll take Frank's word on it. I mean, he's been in those clubhouses. He's been a leader. He knows when. You know,
hey, why can't Frank show up? Why can't Frank show up? Why can't they say, you know what, Frank, we don't need you on set today. Why don't you sneak into the clubhouse and start talking to guys?
I mean, I was so fired up, Ryan Pace, that after Thursday night, I was like, yeah, big hurt for manager. Again, Tony's part of the problem. But this
he's is not all of the problem.
Not even close. This is poor play by players who should be better, consistently better. And even, you know, your leaders got to lead and they got to show up and they can't you can't have a 2-run home run and then let a ball drop 5 feet from you.
And you say leaders have to lead. Honestly, who's the leader on this team? Now, by what he's doing, it's Abreu.
Yes,
and there are some times that leaders are quiet and people just know to follow and they are inspired by such people. It's not working here. And is Tim Anderson really a leader? I know people want to say he is, but he's got a lot to prove for me to consider him a leader. Ron on the South Side, he wants to jump in here. Talk about the White Sox and what ain't happening with a few different a player and the head coach. We want to get your feel on it. Ron, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Two quick points, and you all mentioned the whole thing about Tony La Russa. It would not matter who they bring in to manage this team. And I wish people would please talk about Ozzie Guillen. You brought a manager back before it didn't work, so no more Ozzie. We don't need to have that conversation. You need better players, guys. When the season first started, the concept we had depth in the outfield. That's only because of numbers. And I always contend when you say you have three outfielders in right field, that means you don't have one good one. Okay,
right. So yeah, right.
That was the biggest. And same thing at second base. But guys, the most important thing is this team was put together
to hit home run, and mainly at that ballpark. That's a home run ballpark. And they thought if they could score enough runs from hitting home runs, and they thought this is the second year we've heard that they have possibly one of the best bullpens in baseball. They thought they had enough stumpage. They thought that in those areas they could overcome the bad defense. They just are not going to be good at defense. They don't have good defensive players. And they thought it would overcome the bad defense and the bad baseball. You can't get past fundamentals.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what they do have this year is good starting pitching. But when it's time for the bullpen, boy, everybody starts getting worried. Just like last night, Giolito had a decent start. We're not hitting the home runs. Imagine if we were hitting home runs and the starting pitching was good, that consistently, we could cover up those other soft spots.
Absolutely.
But everything's a soft spot right now.
Yeah, so that's the thing. The bullpen is falling apart. And right now, things just don't look good for the stock status. No. Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Should we play, Mark, Ron opens the door to play high-low on position by position. And I don't know if we want to do before the break or after the break.
Because, well, why don't we take one more phone call? And
absolutely.
We'll start it and see where it goes here. Al in Portage Park this morning on ESPN 1000 with Xander and Hanley. What up, Al?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call as always.
Yep.
So last week we talked briefly, and I was optimistic about the White Sox coming into the week and, that they were playing.
I remember you were.
Yeah, they're playing division teams. They have a chance to, make a dent and make some noise. And, they start out 1-4 this week. So I'm not feeling optimistic anymore because I think they kind of blew their chance. But, here's where my optimism is, guys. Maybe we got to look to – this team's broken. I don't know – think it's going to get fixed this season. I think they're done. Let's look to next year. They got some really good core players that they can keep. They might be sellers at the trade deadline. There's a couple guys that could probably move for something. And how about this concept? Why can't the White Sox get involved with big signings, big free agent purchases? They never do. It's been decades. They never do that. Why can't they do it, going into next year? Get into the Aaron Judge sweepstakes or the Juan Soto trade, if that's possible, or I don't even know who else is up for free agency. Why can't they get involved in the big free agent signing? We're always trying to thread the needle for decades, trying to squeeze every last drop of the lemon, lemon, trying to get players to fit in somewhere.
The last one was Manny Machado. They've had the little flirtation with, right? And then obviously he went west.
He said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's one of the only times the Sox really got involved with a big name player and a big sign was Machado. You're right. It never seems to be the case.
Wasn't there a serious attempt at, we don't know how serious at Harper? Or was that less serious than Machado? I think it was probably less serious than Machado.
Yeah, I think Machado seemed more. Hey, but Aaron Judge, I mean, just take a moment to take that in because it doesn't look, eventually do the Yankees capitulate and give him what he wants? Good Lord, the season he's having. But boy, to see him on the south side hitting home runs, I don't care if anyone else on the team hits home runs. If he was doing
he would dent that scoreboard in center field.
Oh, my. I need a cigarette just thinking of that.
Great question, but, to this point, it hasn't been a thing with Reinsdorf. This is the way he prefers to build his teams. And Rick Hahn is the guy that's charged with doing the best with what he has. And a question you posed earlier, how great would it be if Rick, we don't pay his bills. We don't, it's easy for us to say outside looking in. But I would have tremendous respect if he just basically resigned and he went to the press and said, look, I did all that I could and my hands were tied to a certain degree and I have to move on to a position to where I can offer my input, my skills, my knowledge to affect a winning team. And that would say everything and that would uncover everything that we believe to be true.
And he would never do that in season because the last thing Rick Hahn would want to do is add more tumultuous sideshows to this team, given what
right.
He wouldn't go in and have that David Spader conversation. You know, it's either Tony goes or I go.
So it's pretty much too late for this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. All right, before we get to break, go ahead and set up this high-low game we're going to play right after the 10 o'clock hour.
Well, Ron just said Ron just said that this has to change and the team has to be fixed and can't be done in season. And basically, and we know the Baseball Reference is telling you the season's likely over unless you do find a way to be the Atlanta Braves. But we will go over position by position the Major League Baseball wins above average and where your Chicago White Sox rate. And it will explain a lot of things for this team. It's not just one area. It's just not one position. It's not just the bullpen. And
I said if it were just one or two positions.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's just one or two positions that are above Major League average. And that's scary.
Yes, it is. 312-332-3776. We're here until 10:30. Then Connor McKnight with White Sox Weekly, which will be a must listen to today as well. And the Sox and Tigers a little later on this afternoon. On your home for the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000, back in two.